Welcome to Neverwinter City, where the grass is green and the dads are pretty. Pretty much up a creek, that is. No one ever accused Henry Oak and Ron Stampler of having an overabundance of common sense, but this latest plot to sneak into town and hire a band of mercenaries? Had more leaps of logic than a J.J. Abrams movie. And sure enough, the second they got to the city gates, the whole harebrained caper went to hell in a handbasket. That's what happens when you let orphan fighter Hayden Bennett do the talking. Now these dad boys are stuck tighter than a hare in a biscuit, with the Blue Coat Brigade fixing to tame their hides. What's that? Why, it's Odyssey Son herself, with Daryl Wilson at the wheel and Glenn Close riding shotgun. Whatever these two got cooking, bound to make old Sheriff Boreanaz madder than a wet hand. Soup's on, boys!
Welcome to Dungeons and Daddies, occasionally a BDSM podcast, occasionally a Dungeons and Dragons podcast where we loosely play 5e. In case you were wondering, most people are.
I just started this off with a bang here, Freddie.
Yeah. I saw a thread.
What's
people
going
like,
on, man?
People were like, what edition of D&D do they play? And the response was like, not
edition,
D&D.
You know what? I want 100 people standing over their table when they're playing Dungeons and Dragons. Yeah. See if they miss any rules.
Every time my mom calls, she's like, sweetheart, what edition are you playing?
Bethany, I love you, but you only get one reaction per turn.
This is a D&D podcast about four dads from our world flung into the Forgotten Realms in the quest to rescue their lost sons. My name is Freddie Wong. I play Glenn Close, the rock and roll bard of the group. Fun dad fact for Glenn this week. Glenn just took a DNA test. Turns out they give that shit to the FBI. Glenn does not.
Well done.
It's jacked up. Did you know? So I took 23 and I found this one out the hard way. What does that mean? Ooh.
You Googled it?
I binged it.
Like in Reddit/TIL, today I learned that my DNA went to the government.
If you took 23andMe, the cops have your DNA. So now
the cops already have our DNA.
Yeah. No, but I'm saying, no. I'm saying like that information is shared. Those databases are now shared with the national databases. So I can't even do crimes anymore.
Each state has a different sort of policy on whether or not they can use that national DNA bank to get pregnant.
We need to talk. What?
Fred, do you think they're making babies with you?
No, I think they're just making it really difficult.
Dark inside does Glenn, of YouTube does Glenn Laboratories bad. Is cloning the ultimate influencer.
Glenn secretly believes that his DNA, hidden, encoded in his DNA, is the secret to true rock and roll stardom, which he possesses. And he's like, I can't let anyone get into some of this special juice.
It's like when Jet Li wouldn't let them mocap him for Matrix, because he's like, they're going to copy my ultimate martial arts moves.
Oh, yeah, he was like top of deepfakes. Yeah.
Dude, he was ahead of that.
No,
game.
I mean, it's to be fair, it's totally true. Like, if I could have seen his moves, I could have definitely just replicated. What are you thinking, buddy?
I'm going to go first.
Oh,
whoa.
Yeah.
All right, power move.
I'm in a good mood.
Everybody step back.
I'm in a good mood. It's Beth's been a few months, but hey, I'm Beth May, and I play Ron.
The future is female. Sorry. I literally interrupted you to say that.
Interrupting a woman to say the future is female. I love it.
So sorry.
Whenever somebody interrupts me to say that the future is female, I'm like, no, you go ahead. Tell me. Hey, I'm Beth May, and I play Ron Stampler, a man, and also an emotionally detached stepfather, and a rogue, sort of. Everybody's like, what? He's not a rogue.
You're not playing the fake game correctly, Bethany.
Me? Oh, yeah. We are so salty tonight. Okay, so fun dad fact about Ron. Ron has attached earlobes.
Okay.
So like fun.
Everybody's fan art now has to change.
Yeah. Like canonically, Ron has
Huey and Kat are like
attached earlobes. So like you either have detached or attached earlobes, and it sounds really dramatic and horrible, but it's literally just like, Anthony, I can tell that you have.
He's attached.
Yeah, he's attached.
Yeah, mine are attached.
I can tell that you're all circumcised. No.
Anthony's earlobes are fully intact.
Okay, but like I overheard this couple clearly on their first date at Tanner's coffee shop, and the guy was like, "Oh, you have detached earlobes," and
what
she
good
like
game.
She didn't get it, and so he was like mansplaining earlobe attachedness.
I mean, she didn't get it, and he explained it. Is that really?
I mean,
careful, Matt.
No, like she was.
Do you want to explain
like,
what mansplaining is to Beth?
Was that?
No, I'm stepping back to the microphone. She was just literally like, I don't understand. Maybe she just didn't understand why he was bringing it up on a date. Anyway, canonically,
that's
yes.
That's some serial killer shit to bring up on a date.
No,
I've looked
yeah,
very
was.
Closely at your ears.
And I was just like getting a smoothie or something, and I just hear like, yeah, so your earlobes are detached. And she's like, what do you mean? What do you mean?
It means we're not going
it
out
It means
again.
Like everybody, like, see, look. Look, you. And she's like, I can't see my earlobes.
Well, why don't you go just to change up the
All
order?
All right, let's mix it up. I play Henry Oak, hippie, druid, rockin', Birkenstock, rockin', crunchy, munchy, hippie nature, druid dad. Got that a little wrong. Okay, we're going to power through it. I'm a little nervous today because I, for Henry's dad fact, am going to reveal who he was going to say was the
I
favorite.
I knew you were going to do it once he said it was heavy.
Oh my gosh.
So the reason he could not bring himself to say it is because this is one of Henry's greatest shames, is that his favorite child is Beanie, his original parrot.
Oh my gosh.
Henry had before they had the kids, parrots live a long time. Before they had the kids, before.
My ex-boyfriend has a parrot that is his older brother. Like a macaw.
It's serious shit. Yeah. So
that's not a way. Say that sentence again.
Half of my brain cells just committed suicide out of self-preservation.
Okay, so my ex-boyfriend, I said my ex-boyfriend has a parrot that is his older brother.
You did say those words in order.
And that's why I dumped him, for his older brother.
That parrot fucks like there's no tomorrow.
No, but like, okay, so my ex is like 30 something, I'll just say that. And then lower ends of 30s. And the parrot of his family, I forget his name, but the parrot is 36.
Jesus.
Like older.
Parrots can live to 50 years, I just Googled. I did not know that.
Yeah. So Henry, when he was on his own in his 20s, he went through a really rough time and he bonded with his parrot. It was a wild parrot. Mm-hmm. Like one of those ones that, like, you know, you'll be like, why the fuck are there parrots in this part of town, like in New York or in San Francisco, they have them. He bonded with this injured parrot, nursed it back to health. They were inseparable for years and years. He got married, they had kids. And one day,
wait, what? Him and the parrot?
I thought this was going to be like a for sale baby shoes, never worn. Sorry. Everyone's going to be in tears, and then I'm ruining it. No, when he got married to his Mercedes Oak Garcia, like, but he always, it was like his buddy, Beanie. Mm-hmm. It was like his best friend, you know, got him through thick and thin. And when Lark and Sparrow were seven, they were roughhousing in the house,
holy
like
shit.
Usual,
oh, man.
Not
oh,
paying
God.
Attention.
Oh, my God.
And they
no.
knocked into Beanie's cage, and Beanie got crushed.
What? Oh,
and whoa. Died. And Henry was furious, but has vowed to never get angry at his kids.
Wow.
And he was heartbroken and ashamed of himself, both as a father for not having better control of his kids and ashamed of, devastated about the loss of his best friend. He's really bitten down on those emotions, but he, like Beanie, has always had this special place in his heart. And he's horrified by that. He feels so guilty and awful about it, but it's like kind of deep down, he still knows that it's true and he doesn't really feel like he can talk to anybody about it.
For sale, like, crackers, dead bird.
So that's that was what Damn. He was trying not to say in that
wow.
scene.
Well, if it makes Henry feel better, as the only parent here, I can tell you, it's not weird to love animals more than your kid.
I did.
Don't worry, not that weird.
I did notice that you still have Play-Doh as your Instagram photo and not your adorable
wow.
baby daughter.
Well, that's because Matt's already reserved all the sick, awesome, like, OG handles for his daughter already. He's not going to... Anyway.
Yeah. No, I'll keep my daughter private from the
Touché,
internet.
Fair enough. You'll keep your cat private?
No. Yeah. All right. Hi. My name's Matt Arnold. I play Daryl Wilson, a stay-at-home coach dad who's a barbarian. I don't know quite when this episode's coming out, but I figured I would say that every year, every new year, Daryl makes his whole family do New Year's resolutions at the breakfast table, and he always picks the same resolution, which is he's going to surprise them every morning. And that's it. And he tries to, and they fucking hate it every time.
It's but
that's
terrifying.
His resume. Yeah, yeah. He surprises them every morning.
Wait, like, what's a surprise? Like, how? So I have follow up questions. What's like a typical Daryl surprise? And then how long into the year does he get before it peters out?
He peters out very, very quickly because they get mad at him. And usually the surprise is he'll wake up Grant like in the morning, like, surprise. I didn't think that far ahead. what the surprises were.
Don't worry, you understand how hard it is to do a mystery box type show.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe next week you'll find out what the surprises are, Will.
Fair enough.
Anyways, we have one real dad here, which is Anthony. Hello, Dad.
Hi, it's me, Anthony, your dad.
Hi, Dad.
Hi, Dad.
Hi, Dad.
My dad fact is I was looking, I saw a tweet that said, if you're a speaker and you're one of those people who says like, good morning, oh, come on, we could do better than that. Good morning. I immediately hate you. And I realized all four dads in this show are different shades of that person.
Yeah.
Oh, Glenn has definitely done that. I can't hear you at a Christmas benefit concert in a mall.
Yeah.
I feel like Daryl will definitely be like, good morning. Is that all you guys got? Come on, give it again. Good morning.
Henry, say it so loud the whole earth can hear you.
And then Ron would be like, I don't know what to say next, so I will just repeat.
Ron,
can
like,
you say it again?
Sorry, what was that?
What?
So last episode, you went off to try to reclaim the jewels that had been stolen from you by Scam Likely. You went to Scam Likely's riddle dungeon. So you have three jewels remaining. You successfully solved all of Scam Likely's riddles and either refused to do or successfully did all of his truths or dares. You then decided to send in Payton riding Henry, who is in bear form.
Oh, God, this went tits up real bad.
It was
it?
Maybe the stupidest decision we've ever made as a group.
Because
we were riding high off the other thing. Like, yeah, we're going to just walk back in and get the stuff.
And immediately, everybody's...
So happens if you don't listen to Daryl, that's all I'm saying.
Shit.
Yeah, all your persuasion rolls failed, and the blue coats of Neverwinter immediately noticed Ron, and then Payton tried to cover for it by saying he was bringing him in like Chewie in Star Wars, like I'm taking him to detention center, whatever the fuck. And
cell block AA23?
Thank you. TK421, that's the one I was remembering. I almost said 420. I was like, that's
not TK420.
Why aren't you at your post? I'll tell you why. Because you're getting glazed in your stormtrooper outfit.
TK420 is a
very... Because I got a bong that looks like a lightsaber.
That's
me and Yoda are smoking Kush on Dagobah.
Oh, boy.
I got so much weed in me, these looks like there's two suns on this planet. Mos Eisley Casino.
Mos Eisley.
I like casino better.
Just ripping them in Cloud City, baby.
Every Star Wars location is weed slang.
Oh, boy. So this...
Yeah, every Star Wars location is weed slang.
Freddy just smoked weed.
Yo, bro, you want to head out back? We get blazed in the place called the Sarlacc Pit.
Are we still summarizing what happened last
Boba
episode?
Fett's been in there for so long, bro.
Okay. So
who's going to edit the podcast now that Freddy's fired?
So Ron and Henry and Payton have basically been attacked and like tackled by the blue coats of Neverwinter. And I'm presuming that the remainder of you were like watching this happen.
If I remember correctly, the two of you then did a Dukes of Hazzard jump.
Freeze frame. Oh, right. Yeah,
we ended frame on a freeze frame, I believe.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah, which in audio form is just silence.
So you basically land right before this big mass of blue coats that are just on top of Payton and the bear and the Ron, just basically hitting them with truncheons and stuff like that. Like, they failed so bad, we're not even... If we do want to do a proper like initiative combat shit, we can. But I'm basically treating them as one massive mob of angry,
one Looney Tunes cartoon cloud of dust with feet and fists
with, like,
coming out of it.
Exclamation points coming out and like little like asterisks and shit.
So are the blue coats like people we've met like when we
They're
first
the
got
cops
there?
Of Neverwinter.
Okay, cool.
You saw them the last time you were here as well. Boreanaz is their leader.
Oh wow!
Daryl, hit the high beams and like hit the windshield wipers and like blow the horn and we can bluff them.
Yeah, I was gonna make it like a beast. Okay, so then I will indeed roll for a drift. I'm gonna try to spin 180 so the back wheels are pointing straight at everybody.
Okay, so roll your car skill that we sort of homebrewed in.
Yeah, I have we're gonna use my animal handling because it is a beast.
Right.
That is an 18 plus 4 as my animal handler.
Wow, okay, so describe what happens.
I land and I feel like it's slick mud, like kind of wet, and I spin. In fact, I don't spin 180, I spin 540, so I do a full 360 and then spin one more 180 to go backwards. And then the moment I land...
I love that you had enough like discretion to be like, I can't do the 900, that's Tony Hawk's move. I'll do the 540.
Okay, Bob Burnquist.
Me and my boy Bucky Lasik here.
And then yes, the first time the headlights point at them, I flash the headlights and the high beam, and me and Glenn scream animal noises. Glenn just
sounds
like
you have a horn.
A button that makes your car scream.
I hit the horn and I scream, and then when I go backwards, I rev the engine, I start spraying dirt at them, and I open up the back and I start screaming. It's like, this beast will consume you if you don't let go of my friends.
And then in the back, I'm holding the Honda vac system, which allows you to vacuum in the back, and I have it on, so it's this like snaky looking tube going like,
okay.
I can only handle this creature for so long.
All right. So,
Cops of Neverwinter, you gotta chill. You've angered the beast, lest you incur its wrath. You all gotta chill.
Okay, so one of the two of you roll intimidation with advantage because you drifted so good.
I've got a question really quick.
Yeah, what's up?
What does the Honda Odyssey's like horn canonically sound? I'm turning into Freddy and Anthony where I say canonically every other word.
I've tried to say it less.
Okay.
Freddy, you probably know better.
It just sounds like a car horn.
I figured like Daryl had like beasted it out.
Oh, does he have like, wait, Daryl, has Daryl installed an aftermarket horn? Have the boys at Pep Boys hook Daryl up with a sick aftermarket horn?
No. Also, does the minivan have truck nuts?
Absolutely not. Daryl would hate truck nuts. Okay.
My Prius has truck nuts.
Okay, so that's going to be
my other Prius is truck nuts. sucks about the Cybertruck is how can you get truck nuts on that?
Are you kidding? The Cybertruck would make truck nuts look so fucking cool and dope, it wouldn't even be funny. The truck nuts would probably have like Cylon eyes on them.
The truck nuts are driving it. Oh!
Bazing.
All right, I got 15.
So with a 15, the horde of bluecoats looks up and for a second stop pummeling your friends. They sort of pause, a little bit freaked out, and they're looking at each other like not quite sure what to do.
And I go, oh, seriously, I can't control this thing. And I back up and start it again and then back up. I keep backing up towards them and then like revving the engine and pulling forward and back up. Like, seriously, if I let go of this thing, it's just gonna come right at you guys.
Okay. And then Glenn, for his part, is doing that thing with a vacuum cleaner when you like put your hand on it and like sucks your hand up. And you see it. He's like, whoa, whoa. Oh, no.
Doing this, Henry is going to debear and try to commune with Ron and Peyton to try to slip away while everyone is distracted.
Okay.
Peyton, Ron, let's get out of here. Let's give him the slip and we can just maybe sneak back to the van.
Well, okay. What if we put the holographic pants on you as a bear?
That's...
What would that accomplish?
What are we trying to do? You lost
Instead of three people, we look like just a big pair of pants.
But you and me wouldn't be wearing the pants. We would still look like three people, but one of them was
wearing... Oh, no, I see what Ron's saying. It's like, I'll put it around my head like a headband, and then you guys jump onto my legs, and then I'll run out of here.
Yeah.
You know what? I can't argue with that. Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense.
Hey, guys,
can you just run in here?
If you try to run in there, you're basically still flanked by all these dudes, and they'll all take opportunity attacks you.
Okay, well, maybe we should just run in opposite directions.
Maybe we should, like, I cast about to see if there's any, like, handy places we could duck into to hide.
Oh, yeah, Neverwinter is a really big town, so there's all kinds of alleys and you know, little shops and stuff that you
can... Let's slip into that alley, and then we can double back and try to get back inside the van.
Okay.
So somebody roll stealth.
Okay. Oh, that feels like a Ron roll.
Okay.
Oh, wait, what if we do the pants thing and then we can all use Ron's stealth?
And yeah. Then we do the pants thing and then we go into one of the shops and we're like, oh, a big
pair
of pants
in the shop.
Sale.
Is there a big and tall shop nearby?
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
Ye big with an E.
Yes. And T-A-L-L-E. And it's only for Goliaths and giants and like...
And they sell big dog shirts, too.
They do.
All right. Okay. All right. In that case, I'm still in bear form.
I crawl onto you and I hand you the belt with the holographic pants.
Yeah, here's how I figured this is going, is that Ron ties the belt around my head and then Ron is tugging on my fur like a reverse Ratatouille to direct the stealthiness.
You know, that's just a person riding an animal. That happens all the time.
It's a reverse Ratatouille.
Every single Western ever made is full of reverse Ratatouilles. Will goes to the farm and is like, look at all these fucking reverse Ratatouilles. I didn't know they had reverse Ratatouilles in the Renaissance.
John Wayne was one of the best reverse Ratatouille riders.
Probably my favorite reverse Ratatouille movie other than Ratatouille is Seabiscuit. Okay, okay, I'm rolling. I'm
amazed Pixar let them get away with this.
I am rolling.
I am going to the IMDb page for Seabiscuit and leaving a review, a one-star review, just saying that this is just a reverse Ratatouille.
Guys, okay, guys, I am rolling reverse Ratatouille right now.
Okay, go ahead, roll stealth, yeah.
I got a 4, but plus 8 is... still not great. A 12, yeah.
12 is not going to do it. So basically, they don't see the reverse Ratatouille. They just see a massive pair of pants try to sneak away, like, stealthily from the mass of, like, 30 cops. And they all just go, oh, my God, they turned into one big pair of pants. Get them. And they just start chasing you.
So we're all running as one big pair of pants down the street now?
Yeah.
As far as I can tell,
not towards us, away from us?
Yes, away from you.
Why are you guys running away from us?
I mean, where are you running?
Yeah. The crowd of goons is between us and
you. So is there anyone left with us?
What?
So is there anybody watching us? Was Glenn just sitting here just diddling around with a vacuum cleaner and then everyone leaves?
I feel like you guys should chase after us and then we can try to pilot the pants back around to you.
Yeah, I think that you scared those guys so much that you made them want to get away from you anyway. And now that they see there's a large pair of pants to go chase, they're like, sure, yeah, I can chase after these guys and pretend that it's for that and not because I'm scared of the big beast.
Any port in a storm.
Should we break up? I mean, not like emotionally or relationship wise, but like
see other dads.
Should we like become other things other than this big pair of pants? Like, hey, Peyton, you could go that way, and I could go
I don't
want
to split up. This is a big city. I'd be scared to split up.
Well, if you guys like stay here, and then I can go get away, would be.
I look at Glenn. I was like, Glenn, you've seen Fast and Furious 7, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, are you kidding?
Yeah. You've seen 2012?
Oh, yeah. Disaster.
You've seen every movie with a cargo plane, right?
Every movie with a cargo plane.
Well, you understand what I'm saying. You understand how this is going to work. I peel out and I start driving towards them.
Oh, God.
Are you driving backwards because you got the trunk open?
No, I'm going to get in front of you guys like a cargo plane and you guys will just climb up inside.
Okay.
This car is faster than you, so I'm going to get in front of you.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so if we position the belt of the holographic pants in a perfect position to be clipped by the mirror of the Honda Odyssey, we'll be thrust into the trunk of the van.
What does the pants have to do with the van, though?
Well, okay, so when Daryl was, like, quietly on the other side of this place where we cannot hear talking about movies with big cargo planes, Ron, was thinking about one of the Batman movies where they talk about, like, flying and being caught in midair. And that was called Skyhook in one of the Batman movies. But if it's belt loop... Never mind. I think we should go.
In terms of timeline, I think like as Ron was trying to explain that, Daryl is just driving full speed in reverse at them.
Okay. Okay.
So the plan. So
okay. So then as Ron's talking and Daryl's doing that, Henry's going to look back and see the maw of the van approaching them.
Okay. So the van is approaching you with its trunk open and it's six or so of the blue coats like turn back and they see the beast coming out with his big open maw and they try to scatter and a couple of them don't and sort of like end up sort of jumping directly into the van with
Uh-oh.
You.
Uh-oh.
They're just in the van with you and they're like, and they start to freak out. But then they sort of realize like, oh, nothing's happening. Like, this is fine.
You're just saying there's guys in the van with us?
Yeah, they're now blue coats in the van with you.
How many?
Six.
Six in the van!
Man, okay, all right. Okay, let's... Yeah, we can walk out to our Odyssey right now. You're not going to get
It's a stuffed phone booth
adults.
Kind of thing.
I think they get this... Because they're all probably, like, laying on the floor and
stuff. They're not, like fighting fit. They're all, like, smooshed together and on the floor and confused and only are just now realizing, like, oh, we're not getting digested.
I put the... vacuum cleaner on their skin, like
okay, that one. That guy's freaking out. that guy's losing his shit. He's like, ah!
All right, Henry's gonna yell, "Hang on, guys!" and jump into the van.
Okay, cool. Roll acrobatics.
Do I roll a bear's acrobatics?
Yeah, I think you get different stats as a bear. So yeah.
Okay, I don't know what those stats are.
You're gonna Winnie the Pooh this van.
To be fair, bears can ride on little tricycles.
But if you're going to jump into the back of the van, you're going to, that's good. You'll smush the whole van.
Okay, go ahead and roll. I'm looking at his stats right now. I'll tell you if it works or not.
I got a 17.
Okay, 17 will do it. All right, so you leap on top of this mass of dudes that are inside the van. So it's a fucking full house in this van. Like, it's packed wall to wall with people.
These guys have all seen Batman.
So they're basically freaking out, and you're on top of them, and so they just start taking out their like swords, and they just start trying to stab at
you.
Yeah,
except they, but like they certainly couldn't, right?
Oh yeah, that's fair. So they're
like
just
it's
hitting
wedge.
You.
I feel like you're airtight.
Yeah, no, they're just trying to hit you with their fucking hands,
trying
and it's
to hit
doing.
Me?
Yeah, I mean they are hitting you, but it's doing almost nothing because there's no leverage for them to get like a good blow at you. But like, okay. So you hear one of the bluecoats saying like, in the name of Sheriff Boreanaz, you are under arrest by the bluecoats of Neverwinter. You must report to the Blue Coat headquarters at once.
I don't think so, buddy. And
but we got us. We're still here for mercenaries, right? Like, why don't
I spin 180 and I start driving out of the town.
Does anybody want to stop him?
I can't talk because I'm a bear.
You can de-transform whenever you want to. Okay. I guess.
But I'm kind of sitting on top of the six guys.
True.
So
yeah.
I
yeah. If you
like
if you do that, then they'll be able to like.
I guess
to
I just
you.
Talked with Ron, but we're gonna just say that like that's like a Ron thing.
I feel like
it's a Ron thing. You wouldn't understand.
I just feel like we should get out of this situation right now.
Henry's making bear noises from the back. He thinks this is a bad idea.
Just paw him out, man. Shove these losers out, dude.
Daryl, can you open a window? I'm not saying that anybody tooted or anything, but there's a...
All right, everybody, calm down. I'm driving out of here. We'll talk about this when we're done. I'm not saying it was your fault, but you guys all walked in there, and now I'm going to bring us out of the situation. We can figure out what to do.
So the blue coat that was yelling...
Somebody's taking my armrest.
So the blue coat that was yelling at you is like, you guys are assholes. You came to our town and you killed like 200 people with your fucking pyramid, and you guys are dicks. You guys are the worst. You should come back in and face justice. You suck.
Young man, you watch your language in this car.
I'm a grown man.
Yeah, you're not sounding like one like right now, are you?
Henry D. Bears.
Okay, so if you debear, then immediately, like two of them you were keeping in just by friction, so they just sort of fall out the back and tumble down out of the van. So now there are four blue coats left, and they immediately draw these little daggers, and they
Everybody
point them at your throat.
We should just call for us to hang on and buckle our seatbelts,
yeah.
And then whip a 180 and just fling them
out. But now Peyton and Ron are in the back. Peyton's not got a seatbelt, and now freaking Henry just debears, and now there's guys with
They're
daggers.
Right. We need to atone for what we've done to this town.
Oh, my God.
I just keep driving. I'm like, Henry, you know, that would have been a good thing to say. Like, I just want to know if anybody dies right now. It's on you, buddy. Good job debaring, dude.
Get up front, Peyton.
Peyton's like, I can't move. There's this guy in my foot, and he's got a knife to Henry, and I'm worried.
Can we turn on the radio?
No, Ron, can you help Peyton out?
Yeah, sure. Peyton, where are you?
Right here. And Peyton's right next to you, and there's just a guy. Basically, one of the blue coats, like, sees that there are enough knives on Henry, and he turns around and just puts a knife to Peyton's throat because he sees that, for some reason, you seem to care about this kid. So there's a guy holding a knife to Peyton now.
Daryl, we need an army to rescue our sons. We can't run away from this.
I slam on the brakes.
Ooh, Henry accidentally stabbed.
There's a lot of people with knives to their throats in the back here.
Yeah, so...
well, wait, fine. What way is he facing?
Yeah, I just try to slap the knife away like a kid in the backseat of a car.
Okay, so Peyton with the knife to him, they're up against the side of it. The knife is sort of parallel to the direction that the thing is moving. So if you stop, it's going to slide against his
okay,
neck.
Okay, well then I won't stop it.
You could come to a gentle stop.
Yeah, you could just slow down like normally. But if you want to try to slap away, go ahead and roll dexterity against me.
8.
Okay, I got a 10. So you try to like wrench it out of the guy's way, and he goes, no, this is bullshit. I've lost brothers trying to go into that fucking pyramid and kill the mummy that's there, and you guys are not just going to get away. You got to go back and face justice.
I'm not touching you. You can't get mad. I'm not touching you. You can't get mad.
Sir, I'm going to pull his van.
I am mad.
Sir, I'm going to pull his van over, and we will talk about it, but you take that knife from that boy's throat. He had nothing to do with this. Are you saying... You're the type of person who's going to kill a young boy for no reason? Put that knife down, we'll sit down, we'll talk about this like men. You put it down.
Are you telling the truth or are you bluffing?
No, I'm telling the truth. I'm going to stop the van.
Okay, then roll persuasion.
19 plus.
Whoa.
Minus one. 18.
That is fine.
You get dad advantage because it's an I'm
going
to pull this.
You're from the front seat.
Well,
yeah.
No, but it's also this is an I'm going to pull this car over conversation.
Oh, that's an automatic advantage.
That's an automatic advantage for dads. Right,
sure.
Don't make me pull this car. They say it's kind of like do make me pull this car
15 on the other one. So
okay.
First one's better.
So the blue coat narrows his eyes at you and he goes like, unlike you guys, I'm not a murderer. And he sheathes his dagger and then like pats Peyton on the shoulders in a kind of condescending way. And he goes, now stop the car like you said.
We're out of the town at this point.
You're,
right?
Yeah, you're basically, you went over the drawbridge, which is still down, and you're like, you know, if
Good
you turn around, it would
take
drawbridge. 45 seconds to go back to the fucking
Okay, I pull over.
Good thing they didn't start to raise the drawbridge, so we hit a super cool jump on the way.
Super cool jump or anything.
A super cool jump that would have made the dagger go inside Peyton's neck when you landed.
Hey, did you say something about a mummy?
Yeah, there's a mummy, allegedly, inside this big-ass pyramid that you, all of you, dropped on my town.
Well, thank God it's not a daddy.
So one of the guys just jumps out of the van to his death.
I pull a car over.
Okay, cool.
Everybody get out.
He goes, no, I'm not getting out.
You want to talk inside this van? Let's walk outside. No, everybody get out of the van.
I get out of the van.
I get out of the van and I open the side door. Everybody get out.
Roll persuasion with disadvantage.
11.
Okay, so 11 is not going to be good enough. He goes, no, you're just going to drive. You're going to take this beast away. You're going to ride this beast away the
How
second I get
How am I
going
to take the beast away? You know what? Fine. Everybody else, if this young man doesn't want to get out of the van, everybody else can. Everybody else get out of the van. We'll talk to him in the van like he wants to be talked to in the van.
I still have a sword pointed at my throat here, so.
I hop out of the van.
Well, Henry, you're going to have to stay in there with him until he puts
well,
that sword
you know
down.
What, Daryl? Maybe I am going to stay in because maybe we need to be held accountable for our own actions no matter what the consequences and no matter what the context is. And just because you've got other stuff going on doesn't mean that these people don't have a right to their anger at us. And I know it wasn't our fault, but sometimes horrible tragedies happen by accident, and that's just a dark thing you have to live with. Maybe it's important that we take responsibility for our actions. We killed hundreds of people with our actions. We need to respect this town, and we need to come to some kind of resolution
here. I put my hands over Peyton's ears. I go, hey, buddy, you're not going to hear this for a second. I go, hey, Henry, stop your woke bullshit for one moment. You almost killed Peyton here because you couldn't take handling your own guilt for 2 freaking seconds. You guys walked in there and almost got us all killed, and I had to get a van, put y'all in there, and you couldn't even put a seatbelt on, goddammit. I understand you want to fix things, but that's not a reason to get almost everybody killed. So if you could stop it for 1 second, we could figure out how to solve this thing. Now, can everybody please get out of the van so we can figure out how to solve everybody's problems? Thank you very much, and please, no more knives to this boy's young throat. Thank you. And I release it. Peyton, did you hear any of that?
Roll perception.
18 plus 1, 19.
Oh, okay, never mind then. I was going to say he like put his hands up and like blocked your hands. So you thought you were covering them, but you didn't.
While they're arguing, I want to see if I can snatch the keys out of the ignition.
Oh. I mean, I have them. I would have definitely taken them with me.
If you
stopped
the car and took it, I assume he just has them. You want to try to pickpocket them from
yeah.
Daryl?
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
I mean, I was screaming. I feel like she gets advantage.
Roll sleight of hand with advantage.
Okay.
It's just like a pair of pants. Just like a hand comes out.
I like literally rolled the same again. Okay.
That's your superpower.
I guess. Yeah, I did not.
Daryl, you see the pair of pants and a hand coming out of
Ron, do you want the keys? If you want the keys, just ask for the keys.
Can I have the keys, Daryl?
What do you want them for?
I want to turn on the car alarm so that everybody stops arguing.
Okay, I understand you. We don't need that. We'll just stop arguing right now. Okay. If we could all just talk without everybody trying to kill each other for 1 second, then we could probably figure this out.
So there are 3 blue coats remaining in the van. 2 of them are holding knives at Henry, and one of them had a knife on Peyton, and he's since put it away.
Yes.
You know the ringleader? What's your name, bud?
He goes, my name is Dines Carlson.
Okay.
That's a name submitted by, they submitted their own name, Dines Carlson.
Dines.
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 Okay, they say pronounce like penis, but with the D instead of the P.
I like Dines. That.
And Carlson is pronounced like Carlson.
Sir, as you can tell, there's 5 of us and 3 of you. None of us have our weapons out. One of us, the person that you have, can turn to a bear if you could put your weapons down.
Oh, so we're doing threats all talk now. About That's this. Fine. No, yeah, yeah.
It's not definitely. A threat. It's can we all talk about this instead of having weapons out right now?
Well, no, because the weapons are the only leverage we have over you. You just said, as you pointed out, there's 5 of you and one of you can turn into a bear.
No, that's the point, is that we don't have weapons now. We're not going to, we don't want to fight. So can we talk about this right now?
We can talk right
this?
Now with the vibes out. What's going on? Let's go back and talk to, look.
What do you want from us?
We want you to go back to Neverwinter and face justice for what you did.
Who's justice?
His name is David Boreanaz, and he is our boss. And if you had the audacity to drop a pyramid into our town, ruin our whole economic viability as a major hub of trade in this area, and then bounce, that's just rude. It's just rude. You need to go to prison for it, or you need to go inside and deal with the issue. You need to get rid of something.
What are the laws for big gladiator fights where you kill people?
Those are legal.
Those are legal?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's cool.
Yeah. They consented to fighting those.
Okay. Wait a second. You're explaining to me that all those people were consenting to fight and die.
That's like how a majority of them were.
Okay, yeah, okay.
I nudge Daryl. Daryl.
Yo.
You never talk to cops. We're not talking until we have our lawyer present.
Oh, yeah. What are the lawyer... I can't say lawyer.
what are the lawyers like in Neverwinter? Like, are there charming, roguish sort of defense attorneys that might fall in love with us or anything like that? And do they say, I object a lot? And then do they get a talking to by the judge? And do they have a twinkle in their eye? And are they like kind of like Richard Gere or like maybe sometimes Matthew McConaughey? Yeah, what are the odds of us getting off here?
Lawyer. Well, we can provide you a lawyer. We have lawyers. All those words you said, I didn't understand maybe 90% of them.
Lawyer, Dinas.
If you let me arrest you, then yeah, you'll get a lawyer.
No, lawyer.
Gentlemen, I think that these people have a right to their anchoretas. And I am not going to raise a hand to stop them, at least not right now. I don't know what seeking justice means. If you really think, Daryl, that we shouldn't
get arrested by these people.
Daryl, if you really think that we shouldn't seek any kind of atonement for killing 200 fucking people, if you really can live with that and you were going to murder 3 more people in this town because of your goddamn fucking superiority bullshit, then be my guest. Kill all 3 of them. Execute these men right now. You're strong enough. Go do it. Or if you maybe there's a shred of a conscience within you and you feel like the fact that innocent people died because of our actions and you want to face some goddamn accountability about that, maybe you could be a fucking man and we can fucking face consequences. We can face what we're doing. Maybe the fact that we're chasing our kids, maybe the fact that we're searching for 5 people doesn't excuse the fact that we committed an atrocity here.
I put up my hands. I surrender, please.
I would strongly suggest that we don't allow ourselves to gently go into a law system. Glenn, have you ever been arrested? Doesn't seem like you have any desire to get picked up to go to court by a bunch of people who are okay with gladiator fights when we were trying to save our children.
Surrender, please.
So Peyton is looking up at Daryl and he's like, did you guys kill a bunch of people? What happened when you were here?
While they were trying to kill us. And I feel like this is a thing that's lost upon not just some of people in our group, but maybe even the DM at times. While we were in the middle of a fight, we threw magic beans down and a pyramid came out. And that seems to make some people think we should just be quote-unquote men. That's a very toxic masculine thing to say there, Henry, by the way. I believe that it might be coming from an element of privilege that you think you can just walk into a law system and think it's very just. I don't think that's the case. So, Peyton, yes, here's what happened. You tell me what you think. You know, God always said the minds of children, right? Come like lamb to Jesus. They're very pure.
Oh, okay.
And while we were getting attacked by these people for no reason, because we were just going to a dungeon trying to save our kids, and they had kidnapped our children.
Right.
Actually, Henry's kids. We were in the middle of a fight. I threw some magic beans to help Henry out, and without knowing what they do, one of them turned into a pyramid. And then it crushed the tower, the torture tower, by the way, where we're being kept. And then, yes, some
people
died.
And they were holding people against their will.
And we were coming here to hopefully bring mercenaries to then get rid of the monster in the tower. Now, I can't help but think that maybe some people are being a little judgmental because they have their own problems. Because I feel like that's a whole lot of shit that did not happen on purpose. And we've done pretty much everything we could to help people out. So no, I'm not going to go, hey, Henry, if you want to go and turn yourself into this system that has orgies and murder as a punishment, and when I find your kids, I'll tell them, hey, their dad, he was really self-righteous and right about it when we get there and finally save him.
Oh my God. Okay, so Peyton. All right, well, let's cool. Let's everybody take a breath. Let's be cool. Okay, so my read of that is that you were in a really rowdy sitch and it got real bad. And you did something kind of without thinking about it, and a lot of people got hurt. And it's not your fault that you did the rowdy thing without thinking about it, but, like, it's a bummer.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
If you killed a bunch of people, that's a bummer. And, like, I don't know. You guys are pretty good at beating ass. So, like, I feel like if you went in and it wasn't a cool situation with the law and stuff, like, we could probably just leave.
Yeah, I mean, like, we've had this bummer situation, as you said, Peyton, several times, and we've beaten ass every time. And here's the thing. There's a lot of talk of toxic masculinity around, and I think that's wonderful. And I think the manliest thing that a man can do is get arrested, because it's really manly and cool. And when you're a criminal, people are like, that man is a criminal. And,
Peyton's like, I would like to get some jailhouse, like, tats. Well, like, I've never spent time in the clink.
Peyton, we're not going to let, you're not going to be, you're not involved in this.
But I feel like I would get hard in the clink.
Yeah, no, Peyton, you can come with it. Please get arrested with us, Peyton.
I would start, like lifting weights and stuff.
Again, I think a very reasonable thing, which, you know, not saying totally so, but the original thing was to honk and, like, you know, call them down so we could talk to them. I think a very reasonable thing to do is to communicate and talk to them in a way to figure out how to best solve this situation.
Okay.
Without possibly being either instantly killed or arrested. Because Peyton, saying that we could beat ass, I understand that, but I also would prefer not to have to beat ass because I will do anything to save my child. I want to talk to them and see if we can find a way to resolve this.
So Dinas says, you mentioned you wanted to hire mercenaries. Well, any mercenaries have to have the approval of the local constable before they can actually do their work. Otherwise, they could be doing crimes and stuff like that, and the constable has to approve those things. So even if you did want to hire some mercenaries to do whatever, kill a monster, whatever the hell you were saying, you'd have to talk to Boreanaz.
Yeah.
So you might as well just talk to Boreanaz.
Yeah, so, so let's
tell Boreanaz
to come out here and talk to us.
To come out here and talk to us. We're not going in.
So roll persuasion.
You came to the wrong room, motherfucker. A little thing called a bona fide organic and natural 20.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay. So Dinas talks to one of the other, the blue coats, and says, yeah, go back to town, get Boreanaz, bring him out here, bring as many guards as you want. And so...
No, he comes alone.
No, you can, I mean, yeah. I mean, if he, whatever makes him feel safe to come and talk to us.
I can tell him he comes alone, but there's no way he's going to do that. Like,
I don't know. He seemed kind of roguish and like, you know, anything. He's his own man. He solves his own problems and he doesn't like feeling good or happy.
He always had a team around him of roughly 4 to 5 other people.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Quick dad huddle. Guys.
So yeah, you have a whole dad huddle.
I still have guys with knives to my throat.
Yeah, you have two guys.
I'm not joining the dad
huddle. They're not arranging. They haven't
they're still using Henry's collateral.
Okay, so like we're going to do this, right? We need a dad huddle. We kind of need him. We'll actually put him back.
You can just talk. Just talk to
defeats
him.
The purpose of it. Are you guys dads?
I was.
Yeah.
No, I already played that joke with CERN. No, we're not dads.
Well, all right. Just close your ears.
So, holding the knife with one hand, like he like plugs one of his ears with his other hand and tries to put his remaining ear on his shoulder.
I plug the other guy's ears. I'm like, I'm sorry about this.
Very helpful.
Okay. First of all, I'd like to start the dad hole by saying I'm sorry that I blew my stack. And you are absolutely right to call me out that saying that you should act like a man is a gendered and shitty way to phrase what I was trying to say, which is that I think it's important that we act like adults in this situation. And I could tell that I had gotten, as the boys say when they're playing their video games, a little tilted. So I decided, you know, it was time to take a breather and let you guys talk. And I'm very happy with how you guys handled the situation. So,
we all get heat. I look at the two guys like, I'm just going to punch him in the shoulder. Is that cool? Don't like stab him or anything.
Like, don't hit him that hard.
I'm not,
I don't want to get blamed for like beating up a criminal.
I appreciate it. I didn't mean to get heated at you either, Henry. And I go, pop in the shoulder.
It is, as they say, all good. Because you're right. This is a wild town. And they were clearly up to a lot of bad stuff when we got here.
Yeah.
And
they were going to commit genocide.
I'm not in favor of throwing myself at the mercy of a system we know nothing about. And I think I got very emotional and you were very right to point that out to me. I'm going to be honest and say that I have not slept well thinking about the people that got crushed by the giant pyramid that we dropped. I almost lost one of my boys in that pyramid, as you may recall. And I remember the fear in my heart as I was digging through that rubble to try to find him and the relief that I felt when I got him out. And then I thought about how many parents like CERN who did not get to have that when they lost their loved ones in that pyramid. Whether what they were doing beforehand was evil or not, that doesn't feel right to me. And maybe it is selfish. I think you're right that it is selfish and it does not take priority over saving our own children. I do wish to unburden myself of that guilt however I can. And
I agree that I will never sleep at night knowing what we did to CERN, but I just know that this town was literally going to commit genocide at any moment. So I just
I seem to remember going up this tower and seeing a room full of people about to be executed. So like the net of that is there would have been dead anyway if we hadn't showed up.
Henry, I'd just like to say, Henry, you're the best darn guy I know in this whole world. And if you go to prison, you're not going to be able to make this place better. So I'm just saying the four of us, we need to stick together. We need to do everything we can to make this place a better place.
And hearing Daryl say that Henry's the best darn guy he knows, Henry reaches out and grabs Daryl's sunglasses and puts them and says, thank you, Daryl. I appreciate that.
Guys, I'm kind of bored and I was wondering if I could just go find Boreanaz.
Okay, so Boreanaz comes back with
hey Ron, did you find him?
Yeah, I found him.
Boreanaz comes back flanked by a dozen blue coats, and he looks significantly worse since the last time
but
saw
still
him.
Still hot though.
He's still hot, but in a like hungover detective kind of way. Seal Team Six sort of way. A sort of like latter seasons of Bones sort of way, when he sort of didn't care so much they were getting renewed no matter what kind of way. He basically just looks really tired. You smell the alcohol before you even see him.
Oh no!
His clothes are all raggedy and shit. He looks like he hasn't slept in a really
really long time, and he goes like, "Oh, look who it is, the daddies."
Is he a little drunk?
Yeah. I mean, as far as you can tell, he's stumbling.
He's just wearing a booze-scented cologne. Yeah.
And he goes like, "Look, you came back. Are you gonna kill the rest of us? Are you gonna help me summon the doodler for reals? Or like, what's the deal?"
I mean, wouldn't those two things, just to clarify, wouldn't those two things be the same thing? Kill the rest of you or summon the doodler, whose purpose was to what?
No, the purpose of the purpose of the doodler.
We've discovered a new Anthony voice.
Was to change the world and remake it and make everything better. But instead, you brought in a big pyramid with a thing inside that I thought maybe is the doodler. Maybe the thing inside is the doodler, and we set people in and they didn't come back, but it's not the doodler. It's just a mummy lord. And so now no one wants to live here, and I look like an asshole.
He's really drunk, so maybe if we just sort of like snap our fingers and then do a little ta-da sound.
I'm not drunk. You're drunk. Don't fucking tell me that I'm doing. Fuck off. Okay, here's what I want.
What do you want, David?
I want you to clear out the pyramid.
Buddy, that's what we were here for, buddy. That's literally why else would we be here?
I talked to Benedict Cabbage Patch.
You're talking right now.
And he said that you were here to hire soldiers.
Yeah, to clear out the pyramid. Yeah, one of the things
we
want to
do is clear out the pyramid. Do we have any water in the car for David?
Oh, yeah, we absolutely have. Here's some water and a Cliff Bar.
So he goes, have water, and he like shows a flask and like.
No, like no, real water.
I have water, it's
David,
fine.
Honey, you need to sit down.
somebody roll persuasion.
Well, I think that's somebody Henry
roll,
there.
Somebody roll hold his hair back.
I got a natural one.
And he goes, no, you're right. I haven't hydrated in a while. And he uncorks the flask and go.
Oh, jeez.
Clearly not water. He goes, oh, so much better.
What if we just hired a bunch of mercenaries and cleared it out for you? I mean, you know, I'm sure that you haven't had difficulty like levying taxes due to, you know,
yes,
your poor leadership.
That.
But we got the solution right here.
What really chaps my perfectly toned ass is that you didn't hang around to see what a bummer it was.
But you said it was
with
fine.
The mummy. What do you mean it was fine?
You said when we left, you were like super happy with it.
Yeah, I distinctly remember.
First of all, I was not gonna be doing much standing around because I nutted myself pretty bad with my chucks, and you kind of like left.
Glenn brought the receipts. Glenn knows exactly what happened.
No, I remember you nutting yourself for that. It was good. It was fun. It was what made me convinced that the world had changed because basically apple juice started jizzing out of a pyramid that appeared randomly. My whole perception of the world changed in that one night, but then it turns out
I'm
the world is
bored.
The same.
Which way is the pyramid and the mummy?
It's in the center of town.
Okay. Which way is that?
Behind me.
Okay.
So, David, you're telling us if we clear out this place for you, and if we go in and do it, that we get the mercenaries, which we can use to march on the castle. We
I will give you permission to hire
we
them.
We kill this mummy that's been cursing the town.
You get the treasure inside, even. That was our plan, was for you guys to have the treasure.
I love that plan.
And then on, I would say, one condition. I think, David Boreanaz, you need to step down as ruler of Neverwinter. I think David.
What?
David. Where has drunk Anthony been my whole life? David, you know, you said you want the whole world to change.
Yeah.
Well, I'm asking you to start with the man in the mirror. I'm asking you to change
David
your
Boreanaz
ways.
David Boreanaz does not have a reflection.
Is he a vampire? No. Oh, wait. No, that's
not. He's not a vampire.
He is.
If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and then make a change. That's a little song called The Man in the Mirror by a man whose, you know, own lifestyle maybe doesn't sync up with it. But, you know, I think there's words of wisdom there. And maybe, you know,
also,
maybe
Will
you need to start
Will is clearly looking at the lyrics on Google right now.
Maybe you should start by working on yourself and, you know, reforming the world within before you try to reform the world without, my friend.
Honestly,
I
want
to do like a
great
sage wisdom roll for that. Like,
yeah,
what would that be?
I feel like that's persuasion.
That's persuasion, but it's true. How can it be persuasion if it's true?
Because it's not deception.
Well, that time I got a 16.
Okay.
I'm going to roll to see if I can get away from everybody and start heading toward the pyramid.
Okay, go ahead and... I mean, are you trying to make a stealthy thing of it? Or
no,
you just
I'm just going to walk away.
Then you just walk away.
Okay, cool.
Oh, well, anyway, Ron's walking away. But guys, that sounds like a pretty good deal to me.
So yeah. Boreanaz points at Ron. He's like, is somebody going to...
Hey, Ron, where are you going?
That's the weird one, whatever.
I'm going to talk to Mummy.
Ron, I don't think you should do that on your own.
I'm going to see what's under wraps here. Oh, yeah, I'm going to head towards this pyramid. Anyway, see you later, guys. If you want to help, that's cool.
See, that's why he was my favorite.
So are we good to follow? I mean, Mr. Boreanaz, yeah. Are we good to follow?
If you want us to give you an escort into town, we will escort you to the pyramid. And then once you come out holding the mummy's head.
No, guys, the pyramid's this way. I'll escort you.
We'll all go together so you don't run again in your horse, in your big white horse. It smells good.
It does. Thank you.
Well, what are we talking about? Go back to town.
So I forget. Did you say you're going to not become leader after this?
Yeah, I'll quit. Yeah.
Okay.
Sure. Why not?
I don't know if he's even going to remember this. Yeah. So maybe we should have this conversation when he sobers up.
That's yeah. True. As far as you can tell right now, he believes it. But like, who knows? Is this going to get, you know, blinked away in the hangover? Who knows?
All right, well, I guess let's pack up. I go ahead and I grab some water bottles for everybody. I'll carry Ron's and I get some Cliff Bars. I go, let's go after Ron later.
Okay.
All right, so we go up to the pyramid, I guess. Okay,
but how far? I mean, we have to chase after, like, Ron, did you start running? Are you just ahead of us?
No, I think I'm just walking.
Okay, I run to catch up with Ron.
We all do a quick jog to catch up with Ron.
So I've sent you an email. So on the outside of the pyramid, you see what I emailed you on some sort of tablet that's been attached to the pyramid, but the tablet is clearly broken, and this is all you can see on the part that remains. And so to describe it for the people listening at home...
I didn't get an email. Am I off the podcast?
It may take a second to go because the internet is slow.
I'm off the podcast. I'm sorry, guys.
This email says best off the podcast.
Oh, and that's
yes, that's sorry. This is how I chose to tell you. So it's basically three lines. The first line has... the letters ENGE space O. The second line has UM. And the third line has HE space RI.
Engi O. Heery.
Guys, it says bop, bop, boodop, doo bop.
And the entrance is a little bit dark, but you can just go in. There's no door stopping you from going in or whatever.
Hey, were we going to do mercenaries or are we just going in solo, boys?
Well, I think. Hey, David, can we have a bunch of mercenaries to go in with us?
Please.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you could pay them for this, but then this would be the job. Then you wouldn't be able to buy more mercenaries after.
Could we buy? I want 20 mercenaries, but each one from a different location for Gondor with a different accent.
With a different accent, yeah. Let me go check with Benedict Cabbage Patch.
Oh no, I'm sorry. We only have guys who sound exactly like me. I'm so sorry. If you wait for a week, I can get guys from all around with a Danish accent. And
is he the Bullywog now?
Oh shit,
that was Walter the Immoral.
I thought that was...
I thought Benedict Cabbage Patch started like this.
Oh, maybe he did. I can't remember.
Yeah, he sounded like that. Anyway, sorry.
Three voices.
I guess it would be good to save our money.
I haven't yet had an opportunity for you guys to meet a little Danish boy.
Yes, please.
What?
That's so German, though.
It's a Danish boy, because you do just with the ishish.
Yes.
Before we decide whether to go in with mercenaries, maybe this plaque intrigues me.
Mm-hmm. It seems like there's letters missing.
It reminds me of like one of the little bits they would do in one of my favorite series of movies, The Mummy. And considering that this is like a mummy type situation, you know, in those movies, there'd be like a cryptic riddle or some kind of curse and you'd have to like unlock it. And then, you know, I always remembered that the people who plowed in heedlessly without trying to decipher the message on the outside of the tomb usually met like a bad end.
So behind you, Boreanaz goes, oh, right. I forgot a thing. So... pretty much everybody that's come in hasn't come out, but there was one guy who said that like pretty much halfway in, there were like sacred texts and that those are supposed to like help you like unravel the mystery and figure out how to survive. So there are some sacred texts you probably want to find. I think that'll lead you to the Mummy Lord. Continue as
you
are.
Is this one of them? Did we find one already?
With this thing on the essence? No, I mean, this is just, I guess this is, I don't know.
Oh, wait, and you said that it's like a partial thing. It's like things are missing from it.
Yes,
is that said?
Clearly this was part of some sort of like tablet that like broke.
Is it broken on both sides?
Or yes,
is it
on the edges. So you're looking at the middle of the thing.
Revenge of
the Sith.
The Sith
is the best Star Wars?
It's the best Star Wars. Yeah, that's crazy. It fits right in.
Anthony
Red
Burt?
Rum.
Surprise. This has all been a long game about how much I love Revenge of the Execute Order 66, Freddy.
Yes! Revenge.
Only a dungeon master deals in absolutes.
Eng definitely is revenge or something like that.
Well, it wouldn't be mum. Well, I guess we should go in. Is I guess what I'm
Avenge
saying.
Avenge old mummy. He rises.
Ooh, he rises. Or
she rises.
She rises.
Or
oh,
the right.
You.
Are you going to go inside?
Oh, yeah, something to the right.
Yeah, maybe.
It does seem like, especially now that we're a little bit less cash heavy than we were when we started this misadventure, that maybe we should save the... I don't know. I'm getting kind of like a trap vibe from this place. Like, considering that like a bunch of guys have gone in and haven't come out, I don't know
oh,
that
wait,
we need
do,
to...
Is maybe. There, so you're saying one person did come out?
Yeah.
Bring him to us.
Okay, just a second. And so he brings back a small little Danish looking boy.
What's his name?
What's his name?
His name, as submitted by Rachel Fenneman, is Sexcalibur Crosspower.
Sexcalibur?
Yes, that is my name.
Hi there, buddy. Darewell's an SME.
You may call me Calibur for short.
Can you say that name again?
Sexcalibur Horsepower?
Do you have a nickname?
Yes, it is Calibur.
Is right, a sexy
Cal.
Horse?
You mind if I call you Cal?
Cal is a
mind
wonderful name.
Mind if I call you
name.
Sex?
I would mind that very much. I would prefer not to be called...
Okay, well...
Can you real quick, can you just say Stroopwafel for me?
Stroopwafel?
Could you say, I rode the bicycle by the canals and went to buy some Stroopwafel?
I could.
Glenn, is that why you brought him here? Is that why you brought him here?
Hey, listen.
I think Ron was going to ask a question.
Listen. Yeah, could you just read what this should be?
I do not know. I went in. I was an intern for the archaeologists that went in, and they all died, and I just ran as fast as I could.
So
I know,
you said
I know
texts.
Very little. Yes, there was some text inside that seemed to have some letters missing, different than these. This thing on outside, I just don't know. It seems to be the name of the pyramid, I guess. I don't know. Or maybe the person that made it. I have no way of knowing. But inside, there were some traps. There were traps. And then on the other side of the traps, there was the secret texts that seemed to be a lot of interest to the archaeologist friend. But then they went forward, and they went into a very dark tunnel with a bridge. And then I heard screaming, and they disappeared.
So maybe they just had a really good time.
Sorry, what?
Maybe they just had a really good time.
It's possible they are still there just enjoying themselves.
Is it like tight space in there?
No, actually, not at all.
There's like puzzles and stuff?
Yeah.
I was just thinking, have you guys ever done these escape rooms?
No, you know, I've been wanting to do one, but...
Girl's Company did one, and it was fun, but like, it was like a group of 10, and when it was done, I couldn't help like all of her friends. I overheard friends talking, they were like, I think there's like one too many people in there, you know, and I was thinking like, you know, it's like, if you have too many people in an escape room, it's not very fun.
I think life is an escape room, am I right?
Oh, yeah. I have an idea.
Maybe we don't need mercenaries, is my point.
Maybe we could put the mercenaries like on retainer. And hear me out. We run a very long string with a tin can on either end.
Ooh.
And we bring it in with us. And if we get into a dicey situation, we can shout into the tin can, help, mercenaries, help. And the mercenaries will rush in and help us. And like, that'll be the job.
I thought you were going to say, maybe you do one of those things where like you touch fingertips to fingertips and you make like a snake from where you go. So one, we won't get lost if it's like a maze in there, because we'll literally have a string of people. And then also, if there's a problem, you just tug on their hand and be like, everybody come in and help out.
Well, okay. Sexcalibur, did you help with any of the question word, the sacred text word tricks?
No. Again, I was just the intern. I was writing down what they found there.
Fetching coffees?
Okay, can we like read that?
Yeah, if you wish, yes. I will give you the translation. So it seemed to be a very large paragraph that was missing every shared letter. Every shared letter.
Shirt letter?
Yes, every shirt letter. Seemed to be gone, but this was near where they disappeared from. So it's basically a lot of gibberish. Now that I'm thinking about this, probably shouldn't have put it in an audio podcast, because it's a full paragraph of things where the third letter is missing. It's like fis a hug ped oler wet wi dumti etcetera, like shit like that.
Okay,
we'll put it onto our Patreon or something.
Listen, if we're gonna start buying on these mercenaries, we might as well use them and test them out on this thing here. See if they're trustworthy, and if they're good, we'll take them along with us to like Ravenloft and stuff.
So
right?
The way mercenaries works, you pay them by the day, right?
Yeah. So it's okay. 10 gold a day.
What if we call it an internship?
We
yeah, we'll call it an internship.
We don't have to pay them, and then they work for us, and they give us all of their expertise, and they probably do more work than we do, and then we don't have to respect them quite as much.
Glenn
we
is
just
already
have to
sketching
be-
out like a tour poster where it's like, you want to work for the baddest dudes? And it's like cool drawings of all of us.
So Benedict Cabbage Patch is still here if you want to try to...
convince him to do an internship.
Yeah.
We're looking for a social media rock star to join our team.
We're looking for a self-starter with thick skin.
Because there's traps that'll cut your skin.
Who isn't afraid of ambiguity and not... I literally saw that on a job post once. Isn't afraid of ambiguity.
Oh,
and I'm just
no.
like...
Oh, the biggest asshole
I'm
in the
like,
world.
Sorry that I'm suing you already.
So I think we have about like the equivalent of like $300,000 more or less.
Yeah.
Because we had 1.7 at 12.
Damn, we got wiped out.
Even more of a reason to not pay interns.
So yeah, we could definitely hire some. I guess we still have plenty of money to.
You're writing this down, Benedict, right? Like a go-getter who can hang in a fast-paced competitive environment.
I have mercenaries for any occasion you could wish, but we do generally, we work for payment, for gold.
But have you ever considered working for exposure?
Exposure and experience. We need somebody who can anticipate the needs of this campaign.
Now, why on earth would we need exposure? We are world renowned across favor.
There will be light administrative work.
Well, but here's the thing, Benedict. I'm not asking for your rock stars. I'm asking for growth hackers. You know what I mean? Like the kinds of folks who are looking to get their feet wet in the mercenary business. Like this Danish kid here.
Yes, the people who want to level up their skills. Yes.
So go ahead and roll persuasion on him.
I feel more morally disgusted by this than by dropping the pyramid.
I'm going to roll for synergy. That was my persuasion roll. 7 plus 9, 16.
16, okay. So he'll roll opposed, I guess, insight. So he goes like,
I have one man who might fit the bill. Yes.
And so he goes and he comes back. So Camden Hulk sent us a name for a description and it was just Doug.
So, whoa!
So Doug just shows up.
I don't even know his last name.
Yeah.
He's just, I'm Doug.
Doug, the intern.
What's going on?
Hey, quick dad huddle.
Doug?
No, not with with Doug. I mean,
Doug
can listen if he wants.
Coming in, he's like, yeah, what's
yeah,
up?
Yeah, Doug, you can stand.
This is like an upper-level meeting, Doug.
Yeah, Doug.
Yeah, okay, hey, the room's taken. Hey, can you get us some coffees?
I hate us so much.
Yeah, sure, I'll be right back.
So, Ryan, I know you're the businessman, but I just want to understand what, and Glenn, I mean, you guys have hired interns. I haven't, obviously. I'm mostly at home and stuff. But.
Sorry, we've hired team players.
Okay, I just want to, we do have, my understanding is like,
we've hired Doug.
I got 4 black coffees. Do you guys want the coffee?
Okay.
Hey, like, I want actually, the
fast as hell.
Yeah.
Wow, Doug's a good intern.
Thanks, Doug.
He's like, this is Doug. Have you not met Doug? He's great.
I could go for a coffee too. I'll be right back.
I just want to, we do have like $300,000. Like, do we want just Doug for free or do we want to spend a little bit on... I'm like,
you know, right here, man. I can hear you.
Well, yeah. Hey,
Doug,
read this thing.
Doug, have you fought a lot?
No.
I think we need to save as much money as we can for this is rough. I think we need to save as much money as we can for the Neverwinter campaign.
And really, what's
not
worth
the
Neverwinter
the
Barovia.
And really, what's worth more, $300,000 or the chance to be on a team like ours, also getting the phone number of an important person? I'm going to write my phone number on that coffee cup, by the way. Excuse me, Doug. Can I grab the coffee cup?
Yeah, all right. Please
Doug,
do.
Are you good at puzzles?
I beat ass at puzzles.
What does that mean?
I mean, that means I do the jumble every day.
All right. What's the jumble in this world?
Jumble is a guy comes up to you and he says a bunch of words out of order and you got to understand what he's actually saying.
Oh, well, that
saying.
Could be helpful.
That actually is pretty helpful.
Yeah.
The only thing I was concerned about is that you're as strong as your weakest link and I just want to make sure that we didn't put him in harm's way. But like, if you're good at puzzles...
Like, if he's a puzzle guy, my vote is we save our money for... We're going to need as many resources as we can to mount this assault on...
Human resources, especially.
See, I was going to suggest we just ask Benedict, whatever is the Cabbage Patch, who the smartest and best at puzzles was. But if that... Like, Doug's pretty good. We, like...
Listen, worse, if we get into trouble, we send Doug back out with some money to get more mercenaries
and
to bring
coffee.
Us in.
Guys, can
and
we pay
and
Doug?
Coffee.
Doug, we're gonna pay you £10. We're gonna pay you ten.
Good. No.
Whoa. We're not gonna pay
you. Good on you. Good on you.
Yeah.
We should. We're gonna give you a $10 per diem. I guess. Yeah. Depending on how it goes in here.
Cool.
And so this can come out of our cut. Daryl and I can split it two ways if you guys don't feel comfortable.
All right. So what are we doing?
I think we go in with Doug,
our social media manager and growth hacker, is coming in with us to help solve these puzzles. Street team Doug here.
He's going to be our street team in that if we get into trouble, he's going to run out into the street and get the mercenaries
and get
to
a real
come
team.
In.
Yeah.
Doug, Daryl Wilson, nice to meet you. I put my hand out.
Doug,
nice to meet you, buddy. We're going to give you five up front, and if you do a good job, you're going to get the whole 10, and this is the team. This is who you're working for.
Loving it.
I'm Daryl. Why don't you introduce yourself?
Hey, guys. Hey, Doug, I'm Henry. You know, like, I consider myself the fun, laid-back one of the group, so, you know, if you want to, like, you know, just goof around and, you know, maybe tell some jokes, you got some funny jokes, you can tell them to me, and I'll test them out for you before you try them out on the other tats. Henry's never talked to an intern before, and he's trying to come off relatable, and he's very nervous.
Doug, I take my coffees with two creams, two sugars.
Good to know. Memorized.
I hand Doug a business card, and then I point to myself, and I'm like, we'll reimburse you for mental gas. If you're really working hard on these riddles, we might throw a little cat scratch your way. And that's a trick question, because Egyptians were often buried with their cats. All right, let's go.
Okay, so if you...
Payton, wait outside.
No, I'm coming with you.
Oh my God. We can't bring Payton in.
Yeah, Payton, hey.
Who are you going to trust me with? You just said this whole place is dangerous and weird.
I was going to touch the... Do you like that funny speaking kid? That Dutch kid?
I mean, he seemed like...
That funny speaking
kid. I'm right here.
How dare you shake your tree?
Oh, hey, but what was your name again? Cal, that's
my
right.
My name
Cal.
Was Cal.
Sorry,
Calabar.
Cal, I didn't see you there. Hey, me, Payton, you guys are about the same age, right?
Rudish. No, I'm 25 years old.
Oh. Well...
Oh. Ultimate dad move.
Sorry about that. You have any kids?
Yes.
Oh, how old are they?
They're 7 and 8.
Doing the math? Okay.
It was okay.
Yeah.
It wasn't literally, but I loved him very much. I'm still married to my wife.
Oh, okay.
His name is like Sex Billionaire or whatever.
Sex Caliber.
It's not once you have kids, you change your name to Sex
Billionaire. No, I'm just saying that he has a name that implies that he, you know, like, I'm just saying I wouldn't be surprised if a guy named Sex Caliber had kids.
My name is Sex Caliber Harash Power.
Actually, Ben and Cabbage Patch, you can watch.
What's your post-kid name?
Yeah, that's actually something they don't tell you. Once you have a kid, you change your name.
You change to a sex
name. My name is Matthew Virile.
Hey, check this out, Payton. These aren't a bunch of mercenaries. They could probably teach you to fight, give a bunch of good lessons.
Oh, yeah. Maybe Payton, maybe we can do an intern swap.
Yeah.
And Payton can, for the course of this adventure, intern with the mercenaries and learn some cool fighting stuff from the mercenaries. Payton, how'd you like that, Payton?
Yeah.
That sounds pretty boss, actually.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. All right, so...
Payton, did you just hold yourself back from swearing, bro?
Oh, God, am I going soft?
Yeah, you are, dude.
Oh, no.
Say whatever the fuck you want. All right.
Hey, no, you shouldn't encourage the young man to swear. I feel bad enough even when I do that. I've been cussing up a storm. I got a whole bunch of money to donate to the swear jar when I get home.
Ooh, we should.
I've been
just
keeping
make sure-
track of every single one.
Payton, don't do it. Payton, don't do it.
Frick.
Okay.
Good on
that's
you,
pushing
sport.
It. That's pushing yes, it. That's yes, okay. Yes, good yes, job. Yes, yes. All right.
Ron, I believe you were going to say something.
I was just going to say that we should make Doug like ultra sweary, and then we won't feel so bad about Peyton swearing because it's a whole intern exchange. And
fuck my butt. Doug,
yeah, Doug,
Doug, Doug, my dick.
Doug's a grown up.
Doug.
I don't have to like it, but Doug can swear.
So, Cash Batch, Mr. Cash Batch, it's okay if Peyton stays here with you?
Yes, this can be some sort of work trading arena. Like
the child.
Yeah, sort of an intern swap scenario. I'll live with it.
All right.
All right, Payton.
All right, Payton, get really good at combat. See ya.
Yeah, I try my best. I mean, I'm already great at combat. What are you fucking
better
talking about?
At combat?
Ah, there's that curse again. Yeah, fucking.
Hey.
Keeping track of those.
Okay, let's go. Let's go inside this fucking pyramid.
You guys didn't see it, but Anthony looked just like sad at himself.
Let's go inside this fucking pyramid.
Let's do it.
So as you walk into the pyramid, you see...
we can just walk in. It's not like...
Yeah, there's no door. Like, it's just this big archway.
There's no like speak, friend, and enter?
No. So you basically walk in...
I say the elven word for friend, regardless, just as I walk through.
The dumbest riddle of all fucking time. Nice job, Tolkien.
Is it dumber than what's in my pocket?
No. Second dumbest riddle of all time.
Okay, wait, what is in your pocket?
It's right now nothing. I'm holding all my dice like a maniac. Not that my dice would be in a my pocket.
Is it less weird if you're holding all your dice in your pocket?
Weird.
Just a cool guy walking down the street with my dice in my pocket.
I always
pocket.
Have a d20 ready
hey,
to go.
Hey, man, in case an orc attacks me, I got to be able to roll for initiative.
I keep my d20 on my right and also my d8 and my d4 in my left pocket.
Okay, so as you walk,
I got pocket protector for my dice.
Is that a d4 in your pocket, or are you just very poorly endowed?
Okay, so you walk into the pyramid, and you see that, like, the pyramid is actually really, really... fuck, how to best describe this?
Triangular. Okay,
it seems to be hollow, almost, in a sense. Like, it's not like, you think of a pyramid, you think of,
well,
like,
that's
oh,
good, so we
like
walk into it.
Oh, man, it's like the Luxor in
it's
Vegas,
It's like the
man.
First thing everyone builds in Minecraft.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. It's, like, got a really high ceiling and stuff, but it's pretty dark, so you can only see a couple feet in front of you, and as you walk forward, your thighs bump into, like, a little, like, a metal, these, like, waist-high, like, metal gates that don't seem to, but as you walk around them, you see they don't seem to block off anything. They're just individual little lengths of gates.
I'm so scared. I can't. What is happening?
I think Freddy figured it out. You can just barely make out, as your eyes begin to adjust to the darkness, that, like, going all throughout this pyramid in this weird, like, circuitous kind of path are a bunch of these little waist-high metal, like, barricades that don't actually seem to block off anything. Like, you're like, initially when you bump in, you're like, oh, it's a gate that's, like, preventing entrance, but it's not. It's just there in the center of this path.
Like an amusement park line?
So we're in a room. There's a bunch of waist-high barriers leading up to something.
Yeah.
No.
As you follow them, you can see that they're leading to a series of, like, these, like a bunch of seats next to each other, and like four, like rows of four, like three rows of four, that and a tunnel that just descends into darkness almost immediately. You can't see further into the
park. All right, Freddy, go ahead.
I can make, so as I walk in, I realize the thing at the front of the pyramid, it says, I think it was Revenge of the Mummy, The Ride. Welcome back. Happy New Year, everyone. Dungeons & Daddies is Matt Arnold as Daryl Wilson. Anthony Birch is our DM. Will Campos as Henry Oak. Beth May as Ron Stampler. And myself, Freddie Wong, as Glenn Close. Theme song and outro is All Right by Maxton Waller. Thanks this week to Camden Hulk, Dennis Carlson, and Rachel Fenneman for submitting names we used in this episode. Thanks also to Ashton Landau, Chase Johnson, Icarus Del Sol, Jeffrey Tucker, and Joel Agelsoff, who are all Patreon supporters and who all in their own way make this show possible with their support. You too can be as cool as they are at patreon.com/dungeonsanddads, where you can also download the rest of At the Mountains of Dadness, the Call of Cthulhu prequel campaign, by becoming a patron at any level. And while you're a patron, why not check out all the great extra dad content, everything from newsletters written by the dads to behind-the-scenes discussions that we record immediately after each episode and available only to our Patreon supporters. The other way you can hear the rest of At the Mountains of Dadness, by the way, is heading over to our website, dungeonsanddaddies.com, where you can do a digital download and peruse our fine enamel pin merch. We're going to be doing some more cool dad merch in the next month or so. And by the way, Patreon supporters get first crack at getting their hands on that stuff too. So have yourself a look. We are Dungeons & Daddies on Twitter, bit.ly/DungeonDads for that private Facebook group, and r/DungeonsAndDaddies for that subreddit. Next full episode is going to be coming out January 21st, which will be our one-year anniversary. That's right, we've been here chugging dice for a full lap around the sun, so we'll see you then. There was a time when you could read between the lines. You know they never brought you down. Never brought you down. I have a question that could ruin this podcast. Do you guys laugh a little extra hard, like, for other people? Like, when they make a joke, like, do you sweeten your laughs?
I mean, I know you do.
Oh!